I'm finally ready to talk about Reaper's Gale in depth. Full spoil, going into some of the elements of this book that are just a little daunting. I have to do this because I'm ready to start Toll the Hounds. Okay, I'll admit it. I've already begun Toll the Hounds. If I don't get this episode out now, my memory's going to get all mucked up. Welcome to Fantasy for the Ages, the show where father and son talk about fantasy, science fiction, and other nerdy things that we enjoy. No Zachary today. This is a Just Jim episode as I'm bringing my rapid review, full spoil, of Toll the Hounds, book 7 of Malazan Book of the Fallen. Zach is reading this series, but he's still on Deadhouse Gates, book 2. He's got a ways to go. If you enjoy what I share with you today here, be sure to like this episode and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so. But if you're watching this, you're probably already a subscriber because this is only for people who are all into Malazan. I'm spoiling the sucker. This book, still my number one book as I've moved through the series. So each book, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way through 7 now, has been my favorite. Will Toll the Hounds be the same? To be determined. I did read in the interim Return of the Crimson Guard. I'll talk about that in a different episode, but that is not my favorite book. So Reaper's Gale still holding the title at this point. There are numerous plot lines throughout this story, some of which I'm not entirely clear on. That's why rereading Malazan is so important. I can already see that for things I've read in the past. I would have understood that better if I knew what was coming. But let's talk about what I do maybe somewhat understand. We've got the activities in the Lether Empire with insane Rulad Sengar, nominal emperor of the Tistia Dur and the conquered Lethery. And he's being manipulated by his underlings, particularly those of the Court of Lether that he allowed to stay in place, the people who understand how to run an empire, these people who, they're court members. This is what they do. They eat, drink, sleep, and breathe running an empire. But really, it's intrigue. That's what they're into, intrigue. Rulad is little more than a puppet ruler in the hands of these people. He's been isolated from all around him who might actually care about him. It's actually rather sad for Rulad. In the meantime, what does attract Rulad's attention is the gladiator games. Sort of. It's unclear to me why, still, other than as a manifestation of his insanity, that these things happen. I mean, Rulad has Tistia Dur scouring the world for challengers to face him in single combat to the death. Why? Rulad has already fought a bunch of these. And we understand as we come upon this part of the story that all of these previous bouts, they've been pointless. He always wins. Not as simply as one might think, though. And the people of Lether, they love coming to watch and cheer for the fighting. See, the thing is, Rulad does always win, but he doesn't always win the first time. Rulad remains semi-immortal due to the blessing slash curse of the sword that he has that was created at the behest of the Chained God. Rulad most certainly can die, but he always comes back. And that journey of returning, his injury is reversed. His body is always brought back fully, but the process is horrific. It's painful. It's psychically traumatic for him. And yet he keeps going through the process again and again. There's something not right, people. And in the midst of these duels, when he's struck down, okay, slight pause. For him, it's a big pause, but in real time, it doesn't take very long, and then he's back ready to fight some more. Doesn't matter how many times it takes, eventually the champion he's facing goes down, because you're facing someone who will never quit. Roulade will never wear out, but the person he's dueling with has limited stamina. Whether a champion is taken down at the first matchup or after Roulade has resurrected once, twice, three times, it's irrelevant. Eventually, every challenger has fallen. Here's a point worth discussing. Why does Roulade perpetuate these games? Does he want to die? Is he trying to prove something? Is he hoping that, finally, one of these challengers will be able to destroy him in a manner from which he will not be able to return? I certainly don't think that last one is it, as when our favorite Toblakai warrior, Karsa Orlong, does manage in this book to defeat and ultimately leave Roulade dead and unable to resurrect. I mean, Roulade is terrified as this is happening. He strives to do anything he can to stop it, to get back to living. Now, my theory is that Roulade perpetuated the champion duels for the following reasons. One, he is so far out of his league as a ruler, as an emperor, he really has no idea what to do. These games, they're at least something he can actively do. Also, the duels, they flow from Roulade's insane nihilistic perspective. Nothing matters anymore. Nothing can really cause him to feel. The games are the one thing that gives him something, even fleetingly, that he can strive to accomplish. Even if it becomes like a video game and he requires extra lives to do it, he's still in for it. It's something he can do. It's rather sad, really. Another storyline that fascinated me in Reaper's Gale is the now disavowed Malazan army under the leadership of former Empress's adjunct T'vor Perrin. T'vor somehow came to understand that her mission, her next step, was to bring her troops, basically on the run from Empress Lysine and the forces in power in the Malazan Empire, but instead to bring them to the Lether continent, a place the Malazan Empire has had no official contact with previously, and to take that empire down, specifically taking the Tisti Adur power down. Again, until just recently, most of the Malazan forces had no idea there were any Tisti Adur in power, a force left to be reckoned with in the world. Earlier in the books, we're actually given the impression as readers that the Tisti Adur were more or less extinct. And yet, here we are. T'vor's Malazan forces first out at Maiden Island, a former prison island, now Pirate's Refuge, doing some intel, understanding, coming to understand what this Lether Empire now is and this Emperor Roulade Sengar. And from here, with the intel they've gathered, they come up with a plan, an invasion plan, to take the Tisti Adur down. Their focus is to bring these overlords down by invading and giving the common folk of the Lethery hope, a chance to rise up and take back what is theirs. The Malazans will be liberators. The Lethery, being burdened by the Tisti Adur, will of course welcome in those who are here to save them. Yeah, well, that's not exactly what happens. So we end up with a two-prong attack, the Malazan Marines infiltrating kind of guerrilla style in small groups, going in by land through the continent. Again, let's take down little strongholds of the Lethery and help the locals rise up. But they find that the common folk are actually pretty okay with the Tisti Adur ruling them, because the Lether Empire was pretty darn corrupt. The Tisti Adur actually hold to some morals, some values. They hold to their word. Things are better for the common person. So they're like, no, you don't need to overthrow them. We're good. Thanks, man. We're good. So for these Marines going through this whole process moving through the continent is actually tremendously harder than they anticipated. They're not getting help from the local force. They're having to do everything themselves. And we lose a number of good souls from the Malazan Marine Force that we've come to know and enjoy along the way. At the same time, the other prong of the invasion is T'vor herself and her fleet sailing up a river to the Lether capital, Lether, guided by our favorite undead thief, Shirk Alail. Eventually, the Marines will meet up with the fleet at the capital city of Letharis. But wow, it's a lot tougher to get there than they realized. Now, interlude. There's this whole thing, this plot, storyline, whatever, with the Sheik, a people called the Sheik, out at Maiden Island. What? That was a confusing hot mess, and I don't even want to talk about it. But I reckon it will be important eventually, so I'm noting it here. There's a thing about the Sheik. Now, while the Malazan army is coming, a whole bunch of other things are happening that will end up coming together in a hot mess at the end. The champions are fighting Emperor Rulad, and it comes down finally to just two last champions, the ones we knew were going to be the biggest, baddest, strongest. Akarium, the Jag, and Karsa Orlong, the Toblakai. Akarium, now, he goes off all odd, seemingly called to some ancient machinery that on another side plot was being excavated here in Letharis. Well, apparently Akarium was somehow responsible for that machinery, and he ends up activating it, causing massive devastation of the capital. Meanwhile, Karsa Orlong faces off against the Emperor and chops Rulad's sword arm off, which separates him from the cursed sword. Why didn't anybody else think of this? I don't know. But just separating him from the sword is not enough. Karsa has a whole bunch of spirits, those he has killed or been responsible for the deaths of, that have been following him, with him, not really haunting him, just staying by him. And they all go into play here now to keep the power of the sword away from Rulad and allow Karsa to step into the spiritual realm with Rulad. His own spirits wouldn't have been enough. He's got that witch, Samardev, who's been traveling with him, and she has a dagger with which she has been doing the same thing, collecting spirits. So these are also released, and this just comes together to make this possible. So we end up with a scene where Karsa is with Rulad in the realm of the crippled god. And it's at this place that Karsa kills Rulad definitively. There's no coming back from this now. And the crippled god is kind of like, at last, my plan lives out. If you remember, we got to go back a few books. The crippled god made Karsa Orlong the knight of the House of Chains. Not that Karsa had been like, yeah, I'm in with you on your team. It's like, no, well, whatever. I'm still doing my own thing. And we get to see that play out because this sword, this cursed sword, the crippled guard's like, yes, pick up your sword. And Karsa's like, eh, no thanks. And he leaves without the sword. By rejecting it, he has messed up the crippled god's whole plans from like three books worth of activity. Karsa being Karsa. Now, I haven't even spoken about the All Rebellion with the help of K'Chain Shemael until they stop helping, or about Beak, part of the Malazan Marines, who goes all magical nuke on the Tistiadur warlocks, sacrificing himself for his friends, those Malazans who had been kind to him. And I haven't talked about the chaos at the end of the journey for Onrak the Broken, Trull and Fear Sengar, Quick Ben Hedge, Silcus Ruin, Udineus, and Kettle. Oh, and discovering Kettle was a seed of the Azoth? What? Okay, I see where that came from, but Man. Oh, and when we have the formerly dead Briss Benedict showing up late in the game and Letharis making some moves to set some wrongs right, paving the way for his brother T-Hall to actually end up as the new freaking emperor of the Lethary Empire. Man. Of course, this becomes possible as well because Rulad Sengar, he's dead, and the rest of the Tisti Irdur, some of them, even before he was dead, were like, you know, guys, we're done with this. This all sucks. We're going home. So the Tisti Irdur have taken their marbles. Peace out. Sheesh. Where does it all go from here? Heaven only knows. I just know I am along for the ride. This was a fantastic book. So much going on. So much to enjoy and appreciate and ponder. Man, I love this Steven Erikson stuff. And so, like I said, I've just started Toll the Hounds. It's already great. I am here for this. And if you've listened to this today, you are too. So if you enjoyed my ranting, my commenting, my postulating, again, like the freaking episode, people, let me know you're with me and enjoying it. If you have any comments, put them down below. Anything else you want me to think about, highlight, don't spoil what's to come. You know me, you love me so far, don't ruin the journey. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time.